We'll be, for a little time at least, in Luke 12. There's lots to work through this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we want to think about value today. Dave has challenged us about what we value. Thank you that we are valued by you. Thank you that you are for us, and that makes indeed such a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. A bit of controversy this past week around car manufacture, but here's a story from a long time ago about the industrialist Henry Ford. Harry mentioned Ford Motors yesterday in our prayer meeting. Now, Henry Ford was once asked to donate money for the construction of a new medical facility. And being a very wealthy man, he made a pledge of $5,000. And the next day in the newspaper, the headline read, "Henry Ford contributes $50,000 to the local hospital." So Mr. Ford was not happy. He phoned up immediately to complain to the fundraiser that he had been misunderstood. And the fundraiser said, "Well, how about this? Tomorrow we print a retraction in the newspaper saying Henry Ford has reduced his donation by $45,000. Now, Ford thought, that's not going to sound very good. And he said, "Okay, look, I'll give you the $50,000 in return for the following. I want a Bible verse over the entrance to the hospital, and I want it to be carved as this: I came among you, and you took me in." I don't know even if it's true, but it's a very clever story. I wonder sometimes when it comes to this theme, and I know it's a sensitive thing, and I'll admit that numerous times this morning, to think about the theme, give like Jesus. But I wonder sometimes, are we asking ourselves in this area of life, how much can I get away with? When it comes to our giving, how much can I get away with? I want to make some general comments as we turn to the theme, give like Jesus. But there's lots of different elements this morning. We've spent this month of September working our way through these foundational aspects of more like Jesus. The call to pray like Jesus. To serve like Jesus. And those who were there will remember what Marie McCarroll told us just a few weeks ago of her journey. And last week, what does it mean to live like Jesus? Now, we don't tend to leave giving to the last because many people find it one of the most difficult aspects of discipleship to get their heads around. If we're honest, some of us would prefer to hear the challenge of Marie saying God might take us out of our comfort zone to Africa rather than having to deal with how we manage our personal finances. Many people are probably more comfortable talking very openly about their health issues than they are dealing with this kind of material. All the more reason then to deal with it frankly and honestly before God. It's something Jesus says in the reading that we read yesterday from Matthew's Gospel, when Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, this is important. You cannot serve God and money, he says. And he says, and it's echoed in our reading from Luke's Gospel today, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It's important, this stuff. For some pretty obvious reasons, it needs deep consideration. It seems that whenever it comes to discipleship and Christian lifestyle, this aspect is one of the key barometers. It shows us where we are with God. It really helps us get to the heart of the matter. It's not just a matter of church management. It's not just a matter of how we resource the mission and ministry of the church. It's personal in that way. And I want to ask us the question this morning, if we have ever considered, why do we struggle with giving? Why is this controversial? And in doing so, I want to take you to some of those scripture verses that we've heard today. And then I'll add in just a few personal insights on what giving can be like. And then I want to highlight some of the ways in which you can give over this next month and be part of the big festival, Mission 2015. Because hard to believe as it is, this day, a month hence, the mission and that part, that main focus will be over. Why do we struggle with giving? What are the things that stop us from giving generously to God's work? Is it because we like things? Is it because stuff has such a place in our lives? Is it, to echo something that Dave said earlier on, is it because we have a sense of value that's skewed towards the value of things in our lives? rather than because God values us? Is it a sense that we really don't trust God to care for us or to provide for us? A worry, and Jesus acknowledges this in the passage, a worry that we won't have enough. Jesus understands that people get stressed about how we might survive or how we might provide for our families. Jesus never just says to people who are struggling with life, pull yourself together. But whenever he tells people to trust in God's provision, he doesn't just leave it there with words either. He gives a number of reassurances. Everything he teaches on this is all about God does provide, God does value you. He does not value us by weight, otherwise I would be more valuable than most people here. He values us because he loves us. Dave said earlier on, what we do shows what we value. How we give to God's work shows how we value him. He says to us, we're more valuable than the birds. He provides for the flowers. He's going to look after us. And he tells us to have a set of kingdom priorities, absolute focus, things that will drive and guide our lives. Seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. But Jesus does talk about responding to need in giving. It's not just about giving to the work of the church as such, but responding and empowering the church to respond to those in need. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there it is again, your heart will be also. And there are simple, helpful principles in that statement. Give in response to need. Give out of obedience, as we thought right at the beginning of our series, humble obedience to God. Let go of the things in our lives so that they let go of us. We've talked whenever we've dealt with give like Jesus before, we've talked about possessions, things that possess us or things that we possess and use to delight in God's work. There is a document that guides many of our visions and projects as a parish. It's, as it were, under review at the moment as we look over the next month and as we move on as a family. We state in that document some key theological foundations in the area of giving. This is all material you've heard before. We emphasize there the need for accountability and stewardship before God and before God's people. We talk there about attitude, how our giving reveals our attitude to God, our attitude to others, our attitude to the church, and our attitude to ourselves. It also reveals that godly giving is willing and sacrificial. It's not motivated, it says on there, it says by guilt, i.e. somebody has pressurized us into giving, or made us feel so bad that we give in to giving. But neither is it to be motivated by glory and seeking the fact that Henry Ford, that there's lots of publicity around our giving. And it talks about the model of Jesus, who is the key to all of this. He didn't stop at giving 10% of himself. We don't have a 10% salvation. We have a total salvation from him. And it says, I think quite provocatively, that giving is not measured by what we give, but by how much we have left. So we're challenged by that question. How much can I get away with giving of ourselves? But one of the key things, and the thing that really is on my heart to remind you about this morning, is that we give trusting God. We give trusting God that he will give to us. That's what Jesus says in Luke 12. But the question is, do we practice it? Some of you had the chance to be at the CMJ evening about 2 weeks ago. Where we had an Australian speaker from Israel. That sounds a bit Irish, but we had Don, who's based in Jerusalem, and he told us about the significance of the time we live in terms of the Jewish calendar. And he introduced us to the idea of what's called the Shemitah, it says up there on the screen. And it's a very topical subject. You see that thing? People have been getting into all kinds of speculation around this blood moon and the lunar eclipse, which is happening tomorrow, and this alignment with this year of the Shemitah, which is the year whenever in Israel, they will let their land rest, that some particularly devoted Jewish farmers will just leave their land without farming it agriculturally this year. And they do so because they're looking back into the Old Testament, where there's promises that in the seventh year, God will provide enough. And perhaps I thought this week, we should see our giving to God's work in that sense, as contributions to our trust fund, if you like. Saying we trust God enough to give over our resources to him, that he would take them and use them to his glory, because we trust him for the future. We trust him for today, and we're willing to commit to that. Now, sometimes that trust has to be exercised and acted upon. Sometimes you have to take bold steps, as it were. As our move from here to Hollywood gets ever closer, we are reflecting a lot. You can imagine that. We're reflecting on what it means to live and give and serve and pray like Jesus. And in a sense, and I'm not asking for your particular prayers in this area, but there's a sense in which that is always costly. David shared this morning, he's moving on. It's not an easy thing. There's the stress of the house moving, all those kinds of things. It can be costly in lots of things. I will miss you, told you before. I'm not going to get down that route too much today. I'm not going yet. But, you know, there will be a cost in moving on from home. It's not just an easy decision to take. It would be easier in many ways just to stay. And the way the Church of Ireland works, I could stay forever, whether you like it or not. But that's not the way it's going to work. But there will be changes, practical changes, new schools and all of those things. And we do need prayer. But there is a sense in which the verse that keeps coming back to my mind again and again and again, and especially in connection with this theme of give like Jesus, is this verse from 1 Corinthians 15 about giving yourselves fully. Giving yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. It's the end of that brilliant passage on resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, based on the fact that we trust God, based on the fact that we trust God that even if we die, we get life. Trusting him. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, he says. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Giving yourself to the Lord. And whenever your whole life is given to God, then the stuff is only part of that, and not the most important part by far. If we believe, as we do, that this is God's move, God's timing, then we need to be fully given to that. And you can apply that to your lives just as I apply it to mine. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. But what might that look like for you? Because you say, I'm going to ask you to get involved. I'm going to ask you to give of yourselves a great deal in this next month, because I believe it's the right thing to do. How can I give myself to a mission in the coming weeks, and how can you be part of it as well? Pray about it. Live your life looking for opportunities. Let's live like Jesus for this next month. Let's live like Jesus till we go to meet Jesus. But for this next month, think about it very seriously. Let's take time to serve and give together. At the close of the service this morning, out in the foyer, maybe here in the main body of the church as well, there's going to be folks ready to ask you to give in particular ways, in terms of service. You don't have to have your credit card ready. It's not that kind of giving. Okay? But they want you to sign up to help with a few of the teams that are set up. There's multiple, huge numbers of different groups of people needed for this next month or so. Let me just check, because I don't know who's got all the different sign-up sheets, but who's on catering this morning? Okay. So Tracy, stand up, Tracy, and wave your thing around. Yes, there we go. Look, catering. Okay, so see Tracy at the end. Now, what does catering involve? It involves cooking food and eating it. I sign up for the eating bit, but there's a few things there, really, that you could talk to Tracy about. Preparing the food. We need lots of people. I know that quite a large number of people have already signed up for this, but we really need help. And we are expecting, the challenge is, whether we get there, feeding 5,000, okay? That takes a lot of food. So we need people to help us with that. Preparing it, serving it, washing the dishes, those kind of things. There's practical team. Who's got the practical team sheet? Okay, Nancy's got the practical sheet down there. Nancy's very muscular, that involves setting up stuff, taking down stuff, the stage and seats and all these kinds of things, and driving maybe team members around who are coming to visit with us. Lots of different practical things. If you think you could have some time during the week, mornings, afternoons, or evenings, even in the week ahead of the event, please see Nancy this morning and add your details. We'd love your email address, your phone number. You know the sort of thing. Technical team, Mark is up at the top there, and Mark is on the sound desk this morning, but will come down. There's lots of audiovisual elements. We have professional musicians who are going to expect us to have a high-quality setup in readiness for their arrival. We want to be able to communicate clearly, the visual element. There's lots of creative things around this. I've seen rough cuts of video things that we've been putting together, superb. And we want to make sure that that is done not in a slick way as such, but in a very effective, professional kind of way. So sound and vision and electrics, because there's lots of visitors coming who are going to need power and those kind of things. So that would be great as well. See Mark for the technical team. Welcome team. Alan, okay, Alan's there. And see him again out in the foyer at the close or in here. If you may be a member of the welcome team already. We would love you to let us know that you're definitely available, definitely on the Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sundays of the outreach. See Alan about that. And if you're not a member of the welcome team but want to be in an ongoing way, that would be a really helpful thing as well. And car parking, lastly, Trevor is looking after car parks because we do need to make sure we're carefully stewarded. We would love to see this building packed to overflowing within the fire regulations throughout the event, okay? So we're going to need help in that way as well. Those are practical things. It's not just, as it were, your wallet that we're talking about when we think about giving, but how you might be involved. And folks, it's going to be fun as well. It's going to be full of joy. This is one of the best ways of getting to know people. The folks who, there was about 140 volunteers through Beyond the Veil. They found they made connections with people they'd never got to know before. It's one of the best ways of connecting as a church family. But I'm nearly motivating you by guilt, okay? I'm trying to avoid that. But our giving is an indicator of our spiritual health. We would love to say that we would love every adult member of the congregation to be involved in some way in this. And there's no reason why not. We will use you if you're willing to give that time. And to see that giving as a real blessing rather than as a burden. One of the key things you need to hear whenever we do any talk about this. Dave said fundraising and those aspects are not easy. Edith said thank you for the support that there was for the McMillan Coffee. You need to hear the thank you. Thank you for all of the giving that you give. Thank you for all of the ways in which you support the life of this parish. We are grateful for those things. And I express my personal gratitude as well. Let me just show you a strange picture. You might think, well, what's this got to do with this morning? Queen's University did this amazing thing over the last few weeks. Now, people might think, what was the point? They put a bridge up over the Clarendon Dock made of Meccano. You may have seen it on the news or heard about it. There's sort of 10,000 big pieces of Meccano, and they say 70,000 individual pieces. Huge amounts of hours. I could give you the all the stats in terms of the length of the bridge and the height of the bridge and how much it's designed to hold. I'm just looking down at it. There's this design capacity, 100 kilograms. I wouldn't be allowed on the bridge. Awkward. All these kind of things. But imagine all the work that went into that, little piece by little piece by little piece, just building up to something that actually would allow people of normal, healthy weight to cross and to do that. Just have a powerful picture. And we, as it were, in our mission, in our outreach, are seeking to be a bridge, are seeking to help people to come to meet with Jesus. But it takes all the little pieces to come together. God can do marvelous things and will do miraculous things among us, but he's told us to be part of this. So give yourselves fully to to the work of the Lord. Give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Be part of this over this next month. See those people at the close in the foyer or here. Look for the person with the particular clipboard. With careful management, you could be on all the teams, but I think that might be a bit, extreme. But please think, which one of those five key things could you be part of? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, may our giving of ourselves be based on trust, that you, Lord, have never let us down, that you, Lord, even in the hard times, are there for us, providing in so many ways. As we think of the harvest, we think of that image, that seed time and harvest have not failed, that you are faithful in response to our trusting, willing, faithful obedience. So, Lord, do wonderful things, we pray, over this month, as we give ourselves fully to this work, in Jesus' name. Amen.